Certainly this morning, in light of the video that we just watched, I think as our new year dawns, I believe that there would be no question in the hearts and the minds of all of us that church in America is facing some rather unprecedented challenges. The freedom to exercise your faith and your speech is increasingly in doubt and certainly increasingly in persecution if you do exercise it. As the pressure increases and we near the end of days, many of those who participate in Christianity will eventually walk away. And I have no doubt that some of us, even in this room this morning, will do the same. Conservative estimates tell us that 3,850 to 7,700 American church congregations will pack it in this year and last year, which works out to around 75 to 150 congregations a week that have and will close their doors in the coming year. Many of the ones that remain, and you know it to be true, are quite willing to compromise the scripture and their historical doctrine in order to keep people in the pews. Church stats and data suggest in-person attendance is only 36 to 60% of what it was pre-COVID. 36 to 60%. People simply have found out that going to church, quote unquote, in their pajamas on their living room couch is a whole lot easier than making an effort to be there in person. So certainly church participation is become quite unnecessary in one's Christian faith, despite the fact that scripture tells us the opposite. We have become a consumer generation. We go to church for what that church can give us, what that church can do for us, what that church can make us feel, instead of realizing, as I said in prayer earlier, that we are the church. And that participation in that body of Christ is essential, mandatory really, to being a Christian. The once honored position, if you will, of a pastor has quite honestly become increasingly painful and an increasingly distasteful position. A position with long hours and hard work and low pay and frankly little appreciation. So now with a social target on their backs, many pastors endure a great deal of attacks from the public as well, frankly, as blame from their own flocks for any discomfort that they might experience along the way. And so therefore, right on cue, the Barna Group survey found that nearly 38% of all pastors are considering stepping away from full-time ministry. 38%. Church violence is on the increase. Church strife and church divisions continue to grow even more common. Online anonymous attacks by one church upon another church continue to grow. So overall, it seems that compromise is the faith term of our generation. I guess it would be the church word of the year, compromise. It seems churches around the world are increasingly gearing their programs to complement busy family schedules, and so that they don't compete with them. They're acquiescing again and again and again, stepping aside for all of our worldly pursuits. We know lives are hectic. We know people want it all. They want the world. They want the blessings of living under God's care also. The concept of and practice of lordship has just been lost, it seems, in the decades of the past. The idea of having no other gods before me has seemingly been struck from our Bibles. We want to be Christians, but we want to be Christians without a cost. We want to be God's children, but at the same time, we want to look and act just like the world. We want to have the same priorities as the world. We want to spend money just like the world. We want to dress just like the world, exercise our dreams and our desires just like the world, all the while still being one of God's special kids. Because we occasionally attend a church service, or we drop $5 in the offering plate, and we have at some point in the past said some magical sinner's prayer for the salvation of our souls. We feel that no matter what, we're good to go. Therefore, no one, I think, this morning will be surprised that the recent Gallup poll found that the first time in that poll's 80-year history, church membership among American adults has fallen below 50%. We are now the minority. Yet despite all of this, rather foreboding and rather discouraging data, it's interesting too to know that a Pew Research poll has found this last year that 4 out of 5 adults still believe in God. 9 out of 10 believe in some sort of higher power, according to that poll. So that tells us this morning that the blame, if there is blame to be meted out this morning, is certainly not at the feet of God, but rather at the doors of the local church. So today we pause. We pause and we ask ourselves, who are we? And moreover, where are we going? Because, my friends, as I've said, we are the church in all aspects. And the reality is that for many people out there, we are the only Jesus they're ever going to see. And if that doesn't make you stop and pause, I don't know what will. The world is watching. The world is watching us. Yet, frankly, so often with a smirk and a spirit of derision. Now, that being said, I look back at the year behind us. It's nice to be able to say that 2022 was overall a quiet and calm year here in our house. That's nice. That, thank you, is ultimately due to the great overseer himself, no doubt about it. However, on a human level, I think there was a contribution, and I would give credit to that contribution as a result of covenant membership. I think our covenant membership here has finally leveled off and took root. It has been, I think, a cause for each and all of us to evaluate where we stand with this church. No more the flippant drop-in. And if you're just a guest here today, I want you to know you're always welcome to drop in. I'm not saying that to criticize you. I'm talking about the people who have attended here for months and years. That because of that, we've had to stop and evaluate where we're called to. And what role we're willing to take in this body of Christ. Certainly those who were in for unrighteous reasons, covenant-wise, have been weeded out. I hope we're finished. I know that when I look back, I am proud to tell you that our church community staffing status, in my opinion, after 30 to 35 years here, I believe that this last year has been the best in the history of this church. I cannot tell you how thankful I am for the men and women who serve beside me. You all make me look good. And you have made the ministerial ventures of this church become a reality. So many of you serving while working all week long in the secular workforce to give all your spare time in order to serve the Lord and further His kingdom. I think smart and committed leadership, faithful, unity in these leaders, in the ministry team of this church, is provided for that calm house and a legitimate kingdom pursuing environment. Again, overall, it's been a good year. We look back and we have seen our missions endeavors expanded. If you're a guest here, we have been a missional church from word go. And we've always done what we could. And our missional endeavors have grown immensely over the past few years. And if you're unfamiliar with us, I mean, amongst other things, we keep 2 full-time missionaries just out of this church in the Philippines. So Brittany and Laura are part of our fellowship, but they have given their lives to serve Christ and serve this church on the other side of the planet. Now, I don't feel too bad for them today when we're freezing to death and they're like 80s about it. They always rub it in my face to tell me that. So, but they've been faithful. We've seen a lot of these things expand. We've had a lot of large projects finished this last year. We have seen the Chuck Smith commentary translated in India. It is effectively done. It's in its last review. And so now we're just looking at how many books we want to print. I've been making phone calls. I had the pleasure of talking to a guy that's a major player, wonderful, humble guy here in the States. And they have like 30,000 Christian missionaries, Christian pastors in India. Wow. That's awesome. So I'm like, would you like to have some Chuck Smith commentaries translated into Oriya? And he goes, very much so. We got 1,000 guys up there. 1,000. It's like, can I go up and give them to each one personally? Yeah. See you guys in 6 months. And he was just absolutely just blessed. We've seen the expansion of our cable TV and radio broadcasting in the Philippines, where we got 4 cable TV stations now in the Philippines, and we are resisting all temptation and saying, no, we got to stop, okay? We got to make sure we can run 4 before we go any further. I think Eric's head will explode there. It's a challenge to run these stations from the other side of the world. We have really expanded our pastoral classes. We've got 4 Philippines teams going to do Ministerial Training Institute classes in the Philippines over this next year. We have done church construction, particularly in India, and even seminary level instruction. Justin and I were blessed to be able to teach on a seminary level in a large school in India, which is pretty amazing because I'm not seminary trained, so I'm a street fighter. You guys, I'm there teaching the fine art of combat, and I'm just a street fighter. I just poke your eyes out and punch you in the face. I mean, that's the way I minister. So it was a blessing after all these years to stand before those students. As we look over our shoulders this morning, I think we should be happy how we weathered COVID. Doesn't it seem distant now? But it was just, it's still out there, isn't it? Every once in a while we get reminded. But it was hard, wouldn't it? But ironically, while so many churches were closing, so many churches were laying off staff in the midst of financial shortcomings, we, on the other hand, held on to almost all of our attendance. And during COVID, both Menominee and Duluth paid off our churches. We paid off our churches. We paid off the church house. We retired all missions debt. And I'm happy to tell you that we enter 2023 debt-free. That's nice. So it took us nearly 35 years to get here. And so we are very carefully pausing to ask ourselves where that road will take us now. Now, one of my jobs as the lead pastor here is to lead. And leading means that I need to be able to cast some vision. I need to be able to hear from the Lord and be able to come up with a vision for the future. In my heart now this morning, I really, and this is boiled down to an extreme level, but I would give you four things that are on my heart and mind today as your pastor. One, I would like to see us, especially now that we have paid off our debts, I'd like to see us more and more focus on staff investment. People do the Lord's work. Not buildings, not amenities, not comforts, not material infrastructure. However, I say that tacitly because it's important for us to know that that staffing level, whatever it is not in any way meant to free the community participant from his or her physical investment. So you see, that's the danger of adding staff. Oh, we got staff. I'll just kick back and ride. And so, certainly if I see that, I'll be letting go of staff as quick as we gain them. We are a body. We need everybody. We need all of your gifts. I'm not any more important than you are. My position is not any more important than anybody else's position. We are a body. That adding staff, though, I would hope will continue to provide structure and provide planning to see everyone's service find its success. And that's important. That's one of our jobs here. Two, certainly we desire to reach out to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you attend here, you know we do our very best. And I certainly over these years, I swear I've been there and looked over the edge. I have been places that, and I've shared before in the past, you almost have a kind of a reverse claustrophobia. You start to kind of hyperventilate because you realize how long, if you turn around right then and go back, how long it will take you to go home. I mean, it was walking and then jeeps through rivers and then trains and then taxis and then planes and then more planes. And it's like, it'll take me days to get back. And you can just kind of freak out. And we want to continue to reach out to those places. What a blessing it is for a church here in Menominee, Wisconsin, a remote corner of the world, really, in its own right, and yet for us to be able to reach out and touch the world at large. People that will be there in heaven, where you'll be able to talk with them and say, I am here because of your church's endeavors, because you sacrificed, because you gave not just to your church for the better amenities, but for the kingdom of God. So I want us to see us move out there. But beyond out there, beyond the uttermost parts of the earth, I think it's important that we do not forget our backyard. And I think that's my heart. I would like to see more endeavors over this next year as we march forward to reach those within our direct orbit. It's already in play. It's already happening and moving. Hence, in the outreach studies in these other towns on Wednesdays. We want to see that grow. And we will continue the TV ministries, the radio, and all that we're doing. As long as we can afford it, we're going to keep doing it. And so when we reach out to the backyard, yes, it'll be some Bible studies, but I'd like to see some blessing outreaches. Don't ask me what that means. I don't know. These are just formulating thoughts in my mind. And certainly some local domestic missions. We pray that God will open those doors. Three, as I said earlier, the spiritual fight is seriously on. If you don't realize that, then you're living in naivety. If you're a guest here, I'll make something real clear. We are not a very political church. I just never found Jesus getting involved in politics. Do I love this country? Yes. And I'm certainly not telling you not to be involved. I just don't think that that's my place or this church's place. I am to point the way to Jesus, not to point the way to the Republican Party. And so we're never going to go down that road. So if you're looking for some, you know, hard right church to be involved in, well, we ain't it. But it's getting harder and harder to minister out there just exactly as the Bible said. In the end days, it's going to get harder. And I have been warning you for the past couple of years, we have to get tougher individually, not just corporately, because it's going to be hard days ahead. But I want you to know that as your pastor, all of that does not deter me. I mean, I was just in India, and that's not always the safest place for a Christian to be. But it doesn't deter me. I think it just calls us to be smarter and more strategic, to push harder. I'm not easing up. And certainly with your participation, we're going to stay out there. Because we're not going to just look inwardly here as a church and just exist to perpetuate ourselves. Oh yes, it'd be simpler and more comfortable. But this church has never been about you being comfortable. We're going to continue to fight in the far corners of the world. And God willing, we're going to expand our reach even further. You have been very faithful in your missions giving. I've never had to ask. You guys are out there. And number four, I think it's important that we fight the tendency, and I'm preaching to myself here too, the tendency to lean on our can-do spirit and get ahead of God. We're kind of that kind of people, aren't we? I mean, when the winds blow, we just lean in. Problem is you can get out there ahead of God. We need to be a prayerful church. God does the miracles, not us. Don't forget that. We need to spend more time seeking Him and His plans in prayer. So we're going to increase the opportunity to be a prayerful church. Certainly, for those of you, and there's a few here that have been here most or all the way, over the past 30 plus years, Satan has certainly tried to break us. We individually and often corporately waded through the fires of testing. We have at times walked through the cut glass of trials. And yet, we're here. We inexplicably made it. And no one's more surprised than me. I certainly had no idea where this road was taking me when I walked away from the secular work world in order to get involved in the ministry here. I never knew. Now, really for some time, I believe that Satan is trying to keep us down instead through the back door. Now, through our prosperity, through our comforts. And you guys know, especially if you're a covenant member, you know this is not the first time I've addressed this. I think we often get distracted by our comforts. Distracted by our personal struggles, distracted by our worldly obligations, and we place them before Christ. The late, great Charles Spurgeon once said, "If Christ is not all to you, He is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If He be something, He must be everything. And if He be not everything, He is nothing to you." And for the record, I agree with Spurgeon on that account 100%. I know in this country I am of the minority in that respect. As we continue to try to get God to fit into our lives. We want God, but we want everything else too. We know, those of us that walk in Christ, we certainly are very aware the scripture warns us about not having any other gods before him. We know scripture says that. We know what it means too. And yet, frankly, we just do it anyway. And we think somehow it's going to be okay. And we want to block it off that this issue or that person or this cause or that movement or this interest. Oh no, even though I spend far more time on that than I do on God. Oh no, it's not my God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Have no other gods before me. And so what I often see, again, is lives that want Jesus and the world. It's like the culture shift I spoke of when I began today. I think we are ever so apt to slide into compromise. We slide into compromise and then we drift into lethargy and then finally into depression and anger. And we can often somehow believe, and usually quite privately, by the way, but we start to believe that Christ has failed us. And I don't mean corporately as in salvation. I mean that he failed us personally in his promise to be our everything, to make us whole, to make us complete. That he's failed to be our fullness, that he has failed to be our completeness. And therefore, because of that, we feel somehow, privately again, and that we are justified in our reaching out to the world around us in order to be complete. Well, you know, God hasn't come through for me. And whether you're susceptible to this today or not, I bet everybody in this room could list something. Yeah, if God were to give me, then I'd be whole and complete. If God were to give me a wife, if God were to give me a husband, if God were to give me a family, if God were to give me a great job, if God were to give me an advance, if God were to give me honor. And so we look at those things, and since God hasn't given me those things, I'm not whole, I'm not complete, and therefore I start reaching out to the world around us, and again, we feel somehow justified. But in truth, gang, it's not his failure, it's ours. In fact, let's call it for what it is. It's nothing more than worldly lust and an unthankful heart. We want. We are unsatisfied with what God has given us, where God has put us, what God has made us to be. And that occurs simply and honestly because he's just not Lord over our lives. Savior, we like that idea. Lord, not so much. And so what happens is we tend to reach out just as far as we possibly can while still being in the sheepfold. And I thought about this the other day as I'm standing in the grocery store watching a child in a shopping cart reach as far as he could towards the candy in the checkout aisle. Oh, he was still in the cart, but out in every other way possible. His mind, his spirit, his passions, his drive was out of the cart. And how many of us today are trying to stay in the sheepfold and reach as far out there in the world as we possibly can, justifying it step by step as we go along? We still want to be in God's graces, but we want, we desire. And so God becomes our backup plan. our crisis lever, you know? In case of emergency, break glass and pray. And he becomes, rather for us, the status quo. It's just where we are right now. You know, I'm here. Until something better comes along, and I promise you it will. Satan's very good at this. It will. And so many people that we've known over the years that are no longer with us, that's exactly it. They were just here because this is where they were at the time until something better came along and something better did. Instead of acknowledging our place, instead of acknowledging our individual mission, instead of getting on with what God has called us individually to do, we're distracted. Gang, we need to remember that this brief time here does not make this our home. We're just passing through. And you know, I'm always quick to remind you that the trip is much faster than you think it's going to be. And I hope you don't have to get to be my age before you realize that. So where are my concerns today? God has been good. God has blessed us. We've come so far. You guys have brought me great joy over the past year. But what is my concerns? What's the monkey wrench in the mix? That more and more I'm seeing worldly pursuits and earthly endeavors and temporal labors and personal aspirations take priority over God. We say we can't, but what we really mean is we won't. And it's funny because it is turned completely the opposite it was when we began here. And now, you know, in those days, we had plenty of you know, sweat, equity, plenty of energy, plenty of fight. We didn't have no money. I mean, look, if you weren't here in the old days at the old storefront down on Main Street, you missed a lot. It'd make you thankful for what we have forever. But we didn't have anything. I always kid you guys about all the cars parked out front. You knew where our church was. It was because of oil stains on the, you know, side on the road out front from all of our junky cars running at, you know, leaking oil. But now we've kind of arrived at the opposite. We're quick to write a check. But we're often unwilling to step up physically or willing to sacrifice in order to do so. And because we're hesitant, I think, to give up our comforts. We're hesitant to give up our comforts because I think doing so, it shows on us physically. It shows on us emotionally. Because we're, many of us walking in that private state of incomplete, we start to reach out for the same things the world reaches out to make them complete. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about sins necessarily here. See, that's the trick of Satan. Paul calls them weights. I'm talking about things that slow us up, weight us down, tire us out. I think that's where the danger lies for us in this church in the years to come. And this was what will keep us from moving forward. And as I said before, I think oftentimes we, those of us that are in this state, we endure it alone. I mean, I think oftentimes, even we do so outside of our best friends, we do so oftentimes outside of our marital partners. Even those we're married to doesn't know what's going on inside us. So we, even as confessed Christians, can just endure this inexplicable lacking. Maybe we would go so far as to say emptiness. As I said, it's a need, a want. What is it? I don't know. I have a need. A need for what? I don't know. We don't feel whole. We're just continuing to look for something else. We can't speak it out aloud. We know what it sounds like. We know what our Christian brothers and sisters are going to say. And so we sit in quietly and we simmer until one day inevitably we boil over and we're gone. You thought you could hold it at bay, but it finally got you and you're out, you're done. We privately echo those words from you too. You know the song? The lyrics go, I believe in the kingdom come. Then all the colors will bleed into one, but yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame, you know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 remind us that for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body, so you also are complete. You are complete through the union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So you also are complete. Revelations 5:10 says that God has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And because we are not complete, or believe we are not complete, at least unwilling to accept that we are complete, we are, some of us this morning, without real joy and without real peace. Our marriages are showing. Our parenting is showing it. Our service to Christ, our relationship with our brothers and sisters, with our church, it's all affected. And there is a ripple effect that starts from that and it goes down through our being. And what happens is we are, by living our lives that way, we are painting a very public picture of Christianity that is not accurate. People go, dude, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, you're just bummed. Why would I want that? When such occurs, what happens is we fail to be thankful. We just went past Thanksgiving. Just a holiday for most of us. How we fail to acknowledge what we have and fail to acknowledge how blessed we are to have what we have and to be where we are. And maybe it's easier for me for the things I've seen. Because I've seen the largest slum in the world on the edge of Nairobi. I've been there. It'll take your breath away. And there's a place on earth that I will always hold to remind me where I am and what I have, and that's Calcutta. I can't describe it to you. I can't even begin. But many of us live in this little Midwestern bubble here in Wisconsin, and we think, oh, the rest of the world lives like us. No, they don't. They don't live like us at all. And so when we fail to acknowledge what we have and where we are, we fail to utilize the time that God has given us and the finances and the health and the standing that we have, and we fail to use those things to further the kingdom of God, it's just a slap in the face. Do you understand how many conversations that I've had over the years with people from third world countries around the world, and there's always this kind of sometimes underlying, sometimes hinting, sometimes blatant statement that they make. Why was you born in America and I was born in XYZ? Why am I living in abject poverty and you have so much? I don't know. And the only thing I can figure is because God expected me to do something with it. And I'm not talking just about money today, guys. You know me better than that. I'm talking about you. We're healthy. That should make us move. We have food on the table. That should allow us to move. We have good pay, cars that run. That should give us the freedom to do something. But instead, it just gets us more and more involved in more and more stuff and more distracted. And we should, quite frankly, be ashamed of ourselves. This must be made right. I wish I had a magical answer for you today. This wonderful magical equation. But the bottom line is you just need to stop and repent. To acknowledge where we are today as the top 10% socially and economically in this whole world. Many of us farther up the ladder than even that. We have to ask ourselves and we have to be able to answer the question, why? Why me? Psalm 73, 25 and 26 says, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Philippians 3, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Just as a acknowledgement to the word rubbish, that's a nice English interpretation. You can let your mind roll on that. He's a little more graphic than, you know, a bunch of garbage. I count it all worthless. Today, as we are stepping into this new year, we can make a New Year's resolution and likely not see the end of the week. That's what we do here in America. Or we can go to God and we can seek a fresh awareness of just how very blessed we are as individuals and certainly are as a church. See, many of you, you are saved in this church. And if you weren't saved in this church, you really came to knowledge of Christ in this church. And so for many of you, this is all you've ever known. And so for you, I almost feel bad because it could be that you don't know how blessed you are. You think, well, these guys, you know, they said something to me, they upset me, whatever it be. I'm going to go on down the street and I'm going to go to another church like, you know, I'll just go to the next believer's church. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Or we can go to God and we can seek that fresh awareness. Gang, may we not take such a standing for granted. It's just wrong. We're here today. Do you understand that? We're alive. We're here. We're still in the fight. And I don't want to be a part of any church that isn't. I have no interest in any Sunday go to meet in church. If you all go down that road, you're going without me. Because at my age, tick tock, tick tock. And as I said always, I'm going to be three steps into heaven before I know I'm dead. I don't understand retirement. The people I respect the most, they just kept swinging their whole life. Many of you know Bill Shade, and Bill Shade this morning is on hospice. He's going home very soon. And he's totally at peace. But those of you that know him,
You talk about one tough old man. It just seemed like yesterday that one-legged man, okay, was trying to get me on a plane to go to Ethiopia with him. Come on, Tim, it'll be fun. Come on, it'll be great. Come on. God's doing great stuff in Ethiopia. It's like, come on, dude, I can't go to Ethiopia with you. I got all these other mission stuff. Oh, come on, Tim, let's go to Ethiopia. Mike from down in Louisiana. I don't know, last I heard he's in Israel somewhere, feeding troops and then going to Nepal after that. And I don't know, he's just saying, oh, he told me that he, I'm sure his wife, he says, I'm sure my wife would say that I'm having a problem with retirement. Yeah, I mean, he's working harder now than he was before he retired. That's what God wants from us. You know, I think about Jim in the Philippines. Those of you that know him, had a whole life of serving God and working in a secular field, and then he retired, moved to the Philippines, and he's just been faithfully serving to God. He's been there to save us so many times, that guy. That old man climbing up the mountain every Sunday to go to that little church up in the mountains. How do you want to finish? We're here. Now you can kick back and you can ride this train to some sort of inevitable destination. Or you can stand today and make your life count. Because you are, we are, as I said, in an incredible state of grace and blessing this morning, and I wonder if we're going to make it count. Let me close with this today, and this is really involves everything that's on my heart for 2023 in a nutshell. Years ago, I remember it probably was when we were Calvary, I remember being taught this church phenomenon that seems to play out over and over. And it's called the five M's. Okay? And it seems to happen in churches. Inevitably, they say. It goes like this. It starts with the first M, and that is a man. A man, it all starts with a man who starts something. A leader, a pioneer who sees and starts a different way of doing things. And if that man succeeds in his or her, because it's a woman sometimes, his or her leadership, and others begin to get caught up in that person's mission, it goes to number two, and that is becomes a movement. And the person's ideas spread beyond just him, the idea or the event, it becomes a cause. People feel that they're part of something, something that's dynamic and creative and purposeful. And they get involved in it. They get involved in it cheerfully and eagerly and with energy. And then if enough people get involved in that movement or involved in that idea long enough, then that movement goes on to step three. It becomes a machine. Because it seems to be a human nature to mechanize. It's just who we are. To structure, to organize, to routinize what up to then had been a simple, dynamic, and free, and unstructured movement. To build a machine that ensures that X gets done at Y time. And what happens when enough people start noticing that they're not so much participants in a movement, but just supporters, or worse, merely parts of the machine. As the machine moves more and more away from the principles and the original ideas of that man, then the machine goes on to step forward and becomes a monument. The machine itself, the structure, the thing that flowed out of that movement becomes the object of attention. The structure itself belonging to it, participating in it, becomes the focus. And once you've arrived there, it's guaranteed only a matter of time before it all becomes, number five, a mausoleum. The fight for churches, us included, is to fight to stay in the movement phase of that cycle. And that's not easy to do. That's hard. Now, certainly, we have to at the same time realize that mechanizing, it has its rewards, it has its benefits. You don't just freelance, you know, the chaos. We can all think back to the old days around here, you know, 25, 30 years ago. Sure, it was fun. It was just crazy chaotic, wasn't it? So certainly mechanizing has its rewards and benefits as long as the machine is in service of the movement. And more importantly, in service to the man, Jesus Christ. This is our focus. This is our goal for 23, to stay a movement. There is no argument this morning that God is with us. If you attend here, you know that to be a fact. God is with us. And he has already long since proven that fact. But we have to commit ourselves as a body of Christ to continue to make this happen, and that we would seek God to see it through. It's been a good year. And I think we've all had a blast. I have. But my heart today looks beyond January 1st, 2023. My clock is ticking. I certainly cannot do what I did 35 years ago. One of these days I won't be here anymore. What are y'all going to do? It can't be just attendance of church. You have to stop and ask, why am I here? What does God have for me? And do I have any gods before him that's keeping me from doing what I'm called to do? Now, if you're a guest here today, or you're new to this fellowship, this message is going to do one of two things. You're going to be like, jeez, I am out of here. That would be best. If this message scares you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Or it should go, I've been looking for you for a long time. And if that's your heart, then you are where you belong. Welcome home. But between now and the day when my Lord comes back, we are going to fight. And we are going to minister. And we are going to sacrifice. And we are going to give. And we are going to serve. That's who we are. And we don't ever become so comfortable that we're just along for the ride. God's been good to us. And I'm not going to take that for granted. Let's stand.